Well, thanks for joining us here at Calvary Temple Online this week. Hey, if you have your Bibles, turn to Matthew chapter 28. We're going to be looking at Matthew chapter 28 in just a few moments. Last week was Easter. It's my favorite Sunday of the year, and I hope it is yours too, as I hope you celebrated like we did the risen Savior, that he is alive. In fact, last week my message was about the stone being rolled away from the tomb, and it's meme time, and this very first meme, I think, kind of goes along with that, talking about the stone, and this is Fred Flint's stone. For those of you that are old enough to remember, you'll know exactly why that's funny. Well, speaking of Easter, over the years, Susan and Gloria's Easter bonnet rivalry had gotten completely out of hand. I want you to notice the Easter bonnets. I mean, those are something, right? Those are something. I mean, that's just really taking it over the top. A little overachieving there, right, for Easter. I love this one. I came across this one. Watching your kids pick up 45 Easter eggs in less than a minute when it takes them hours for them to clean their room. It's kind of the face you would make, right? That you make. Speaking of kids, you know, this is when your kids are too old, but they still want an Easter basket. I mean, you can tell they're not too happy about that particular Easter basket. Well, speaking of that, I'm too old to hunt down Easter eggs. Unless somebody hides the deviled eggs, then I will act like a bloodhound tracking down escaped convicts. Now, I want to make a clarification here. We don't like to call them deviled eggs. We call them angel eggs at my house because we don't want to give the devil any credit for anything good. So we call them angel eggs, but you guys know what I'm talking about there, right? Well, if you know me very well at all, you know that I love to golf, and I thought about this. I saw this meme, and I thought, how accurate. Golf, the adult version of an Easter egg hunt. You know, this could have been me and my buddies sometimes out looking for a ball that somebody can't find. Speaking of golfing, though, I love this meme. The wife says, no, he decided not to play today. He suddenly remembered it's my birthday. How many know a picture's worth 1,000 words, right? I'm not sure he remembered it on his own, but it looks like she reminded him. Anyway, let's get into the message today. Matthew chapter 28, look at verse 19. Matthew chapter 28, beginning at verse 19. Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I've given you. And be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Let's pray. Father, I thank you today for your love and your mercy and your grace. I thank you for your presence in our lives. Lord, today may we just embrace and experience your presence in a greater way. May we be a people that just experience you every day of our lives, and your presence, Lord, is what makes our day go so well and gives us the joy that we have. Lord, I pray that you'd speak through this mouthpiece and challenge us, and we give you the glory and the honor for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You know, one thing that we've focused on during these past few weeks is that Jesus' mission while he was here on this earth was ultimately to be the sacrificial lamb of God. In fact, in his own words, he came to seek and save the lost. He came to give his life as a ransom for many. He came to pay a debt that he didn't know for those that owed a debt that they couldn't pay. I'm saying that he came to die upon the cross of Calvary for your sins and my sins so that we can experience salvation and forgiveness and peace with God and peace with ourselves. In fact, I think if I only had one sermon to preach, it would be a message about Jesus dying on the cross for our sins and then being raised to life again on the third day. And then if I had time in that message, I would include, I think, a small addition to that. I would add everything that in today's sermon to the conclusion of that message. In other words, it would be a really long sermon. Well, today's sermon is significant because it literally picks up where that message ends, where the resurrection ends. Today, we're going to focus on the fact that we're not here to pay homage to a dead man. We're not here merely to remember our leader who lived so long ago, who died on the cross for our sins. No, we are here to celebrate the fact that this Jesus who lived so long ago is alive and present today. You may be saying, oh, come on, Pastor Scott. We celebrated Easter last week. Why are you focusing on this again this week? Well, because Easter isn't just something that we celebrate one Sunday each year. Easter should be a continuous celebration of what Jesus Christ has done for us. And because of the resurrection, everything has changed. You see, 2,000 years ago, Jesus died a violent death on a cruel Roman cross, and he was buried in a borrowed tomb. His enemies thought that that was all that there was to it. But on the third day, the Spirit of God entered into that cave, breathed life into his nostrils, and his lungs filled with air, and his heart started to pound, and his blood began to flow, and he stood up on his feet, took off the veil of death, and he walked out of the grave, victorious over death, and he still lives today. Now, it was not a spiritual, ghostly type of resurrection. It was not a symbolic resurrection. It wasn't just a resurrection of memory either, as is to say, you know, though he's gone, his memory lingers on. No, the resurrection of Jesus was a physical, bodily resurrection. He is truly risen. Now then, over the next 40 days, he appeared to his followers on several occasions, giving them conclusive proof that he is in fact who he claimed to be, that he is the Son of God, the King of all kings, the Lord of all lords. Now after his resurrection, you can see a huge difference in the behavior of his disciples. When Jesus was arrested and then put on trial, everyone abandoned him. And then just a short time later, after he was resurrected, all those that had abandoned him returned. You soon find them preaching the gospel boldly in the marketplace in spite of fierce opposition, in spite of persecution and the threat of imprisonment. They continued to boldly go and preach and tell the good news. And this is how they lived the remainder of their lives. In fact, nearly all of the apostles, according to historical legend, nearly all of the apostles died the death of a martyr. So what made the difference in their lives? What changed them from being cowards to being courageous? Well, two reasons, I believe. One we're going to look at in just a minute. But the primary reason, I think, for the radical transformation in the lives of the early apostles is that they had a firsthand, face-to-face encounter with the risen Christ. He was alive, then he was dead, and now he's alive again. And they realized that if he can conquer death, then there is nothing that the world can do to them because Jesus has the authority over it all. Now, for 40 days after the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, he appeared to his followers on several occasions. He continued to teach them kingdom principles, and then he taught them about what was to come. And then, right before their eyes, he ascended into heaven. Now, the very last words that he spoke to his disciples was to give them a mission, to preach the gospel all over the world, and to make new disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to follow his teachings. And then he said in Matthew chapter 28, verse 20, "And be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." So where is Jesus today? Well, physically, he's seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. But also, he is with us, right here with us, right where you're at, right where I'm at. Not just in memory, not just metaphorically, but in a very real and literal sense, he is with us. Now, that means that you can encounter his presence every day of your life because he's with you always. And so today, I want to talk to you about three ways that you can encounter the presence of the risen and living Christ. First of all, number one, you encounter his presence through the filling of the Holy Spirit. Now, before Jesus ascended into heaven, he told his disciples in Luke chapter 24, verse 49, to stay in Jerusalem and to wait until they were clothed with power from on high. In fact, he said in Acts chapter 1, verse 5, "In a few days, you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." And then in verse 8, he goes on and says, "And you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you." Now, that's exactly what happened. Jerusalem was filled with visitors from all over the world to celebrate the feast that is known as Pentecost. It's a major Jewish holiday. Now the disciples gathered in an upper room to pray, and then suddenly the sound like a mighty wind filled the whole house, and flames of fire rested upon each and every one of them, and they all began speaking in different languages. Now, as they moved out into the streets, people from all over could hear them praising God in various languages, and they were amazed. And in fact, they asked, how is it that these unschooled Galileans, which is kind of like saying these hillbillies, how is it that they are speaking the languages of our homelands? Well, the Apostle Peter took the stage and he stood before the crowd and he preached the gospel. And afterwards, the Bible says 3,000 people were saved. 3,000 people came to receive Jesus Christ into their life. You know, today churches all over the world celebrate this event as the beginning of the ministry of the Holy Spirit in the church. In fact, it is considered the birthday of the church because the church was born that day. Now, Pentecost Sunday takes place 7 weeks after Easter Sunday, or 50 days, which is where the word Pentecost comes from, pente equaling 50, or meaning 50. Now, this year, we celebrate it on Sunday, May 19th. I'm really excited about that celebration that we're going to have when we celebrate the birth of the church and the coming of the Holy Spirit into filling the church and believers. Jesus said, though, that you would receive power when you receive the Holy Spirit. That's what happened. At Pentecost, it happened, and it still happens to believers today. Now, remember, when I said that there are two reasons to explain the disciples' radical transformation, from them being cowards and abandoning Jesus to them being bold and courageous and willing to die for him. Well, the first reason is they encountered the risen Christ face to face. But the second reason is that they experience the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit is where the power to live the Christian life comes from. You see, before Jesus died, he told them that he would send the Holy Spirit to dwell with them. John chapter 14, verse 16, then I will ask the Father to send you the Holy Spirit who will help you and always be with you. The Spirit will show you what is true. And then he said in verse 18, I will not leave you as orphans, I will come to you. I will come to you. Jesus is saying that to be filled with the Holy Spirit is to be filled with his presence. I will be with you, Jesus says. Now we talk a lot about asking Jesus to come into your life, into your heart, and there's a sense in which that's exactly what happens. Jesus comes to dwell in your spirit through the Holy Spirit. And so for this reason, you don't need to pray to a God who is a million light years away on the other side of the universe. You can pray to a God who is right here with you. Now, I oftentimes remind myself of this all throughout the day. When I'm in my car driving, I remind myself, I'm not alone. He's here. Or when I'm in my office, I'm not alone. He's here. Or when I'm surrounded by people who don't acknowledge that I even exist, hey, I'm not alone because he is here. He is here through the presence of the Holy Spirit who dwells in your spirit. And that's why we need to ask God every day to fill us with his spirit so that we can fully experience the presence of Jesus. So we encounter the presence of Jesus, first of all, through the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Now, here's a second way that you encounter the presence of Jesus, and that is you encounter his presence through the community of believers. William James said, the greatest use of life is to spend it for something that will outlast us. Now, the overwhelming majority of things that we do during the day are profoundly temporary. I mean, we're driving here, driving there, having a meal, watching TV, even at work. I mean, what you do is more often about fixing yesterday's problems than realizing tomorrow's dreams. And so how do we bring a sense of eternity into each and every day? How do we ensure that we spend our lives building something that will outlast our time here on this earth? You see, the only two things that will last forever are the Word of God and people. And if you want to build something in your life that will last, then look for ways to connect with these two. Look for ways to speak God's word into the lives of others. Now, this involves more than just quoting Bible verses, though, I mean, that's certainly a part of it, but it involves bringing the presence of God into every conversation. In fact, the Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 3, but everyone who prophesies speaks to men for their strengthening, encouragement, and comfort. Now, this kind of prophecy doesn't require a microphone or a podium. In fact, it's most effectively done one-on-one. So try this today. In every conversation, ask yourself, how can I help this person experience more of God's strength? How can I encourage him or her to keep pressing on? I mean, what words can I use to help them to feel the comfort of God's Spirit? Now, it may take only a sentence or two, but every time that you do this, you're going to be building something that will last for all eternity. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 18, verse 20, whenever two or three of you come together in my name, I am there with you. Whenever you come together as God's people, we can be sure that he is here among us. It reminds me, several years ago, I was on a committee that was organizing a men's event, and we were planning out the details of the event, and a couple of the people on the leadership team, they used a very interesting phrase. They said, let's do this, and let's see if God shows up. Now, they said it two or three times. I mean, let's see if God shows up. Finally, I had to interject, and I said, listen, I'm not trying to be nitpicky here, because I realize that it's just a phrase that we use many times. But if there's any doubt that God is going to show up, we might need to cancel our plans. Like I said, they were just using a phrase that people in church oftentimes use. But the problem is that phrase is filled with theological error, and we should never use it. You see, when we come together in his name, God will show up. Jesus will be here among us. It is guaranteed. He is here. He said that he would be here, and so we can rest assured that he will be here. Now, sometimes we might not make him feel welcome. I mean, sometimes we might try to hinder him from moving among us, but you can be sure that he is here. He is here. In fact, I love this phrase from the King James Version. It says this, but thou art holy, O thou that inhabitest the praises of Israel. You see, this is still true today. God inhabits or lives in the praises of his people. When the community of faith-filled believers comes together in his name, he joins the party. He is here. We don't have to wonder if he's coming. We don't have to wait for him to show up. We just have to acknowledge his presence among us, that he is here. I like to call this practicing his presence. Practicing his presence. We're practicing the fact that we know his presence is here. And that's why when you feel like you're far away from Jesus, you should attend a worship service because he'll be there. He will be there. So we encounter Jesus through the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. We encounter him through the fellowship of believers. Do you know where else we encounter him? The third place, we encounter his presence through those who need our ministry. In Matthew chapter 25, verses 34 through 40, Jesus said on the final day of judgment that there will be those whom he says this to, come, you who are blessed of my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you invited me in. I needed clothes and you clothed me. I was sick and you looked after me. I was in prison and you came to visit me. Then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you? Or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in or needing clothing and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you? The king will reply, truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did it for me. We see all throughout scripture how often Jesus was moved with compassion to help those who hurt. And we see in scripture that he expects us to pick up where he left off, reaching out to those that are in need. But this is where I think the plot thickens. He says, in effect here, when you minister to those in need, you're not just ministering to them, you're ministering to me. Think about that for a minute. You know, Mother Teresa once said this about her mission in Calcutta. She said, every day I seek Jesus in all of his distressing disguises. We're committed to feed Christ who is hungry, committed to clothe Christ who is naked, committed to take in Christ who has no home, and to do it all with all of this with a smile on our faces and bursting with joy. Tony Campolo tells the story of a young Jewish boy from Poland who was rounded up by the Nazis to be shot with his family and neighbors. Now, they were forced to dig their own graves, and then the soldiers gunned down each one of them. Well, miraculously, the boy survived. And though he was buried with the rest of them, the shallow grave provided just enough air for him to keep him alive. Well, that night, under the cover of darkness. He clawed his way free. He ran for safety. He was covered with dirt and blood. And as he approached nearby homes asking for help, he was turned away again and again and again. And finally, in desperation, he knocked at a door and he cried out, "Don't you recognize me? I'm the Jesus you say you love." You see, there will be times, and you can be sure it's going to probably happen this week, really, when you're going to encounter a person that's in need and you're going to have at your disposal the ability to meet that need. Now, it may be a few dollars. It may be a word of encouragement. It may be spending some time with them or giving them a ride somewhere. You may not recognize it at first, but Jesus will be present in that situation. The compassion that you show to another, he will receive for himself. So do you want to see Jesus? Do you want a personal encounter with the risen Christ? I'll tell you how you can find him. He's at the clothing closet here at Calvary Temple or one of the local food pantries. You know, he's at a busy intersection or out in front of a grocery store. He's in the home of an elderly woman who can't take care of her lawn anymore. Or the overwhelmed father who can either pay to have his car repaired so that he can keep his job or pay to take his son to the doctor, but not both. You can encounter him in the person that has failed so many times in so many ways that it seems like no one could ever love them. You can encounter him in the person who's tossed aside by the rest of society. You can find him sitting in a jail cell wondering why he did what he did to put him in here or sick in a hospital bed. Listen, make no mistake about it. You will encounter Jesus this week, and he'll be disguised as one of the least of these. As his follower, though, he's reminding you that when you reach out to them, that you're reaching out to him. And so in closing, let me just say Jesus Christ is alive today. This is one of the many things that makes him different from all the other religious leaders of the past. Now, we don't come together to honor a dead man, but we come to celebrate the one in whom death could not contain. His resurrection proves to us that he is who he said he was. John 14:6, Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." You see, it's through faith in him, through following him, that we experience life. I'm talking about new life, his life in us. When you receive Jesus, he takes up residence in your spirit through the Holy Spirit. Now, maybe you first became his follower many, many years ago. In fact, so many years ago that you sometimes forgot that he's right there with you all the time. Maybe you forgot sometimes to acknowledge his presence. I think we all do. But in order for us to know him and to become like him, we must begin by making it a daily habit to acknowledge his presence. When you wake up in the morning, just remind yourself, he is here. And as you go about your day, he is here. When you close your eyes at night, he is here. When you come to worship him, he is here. When you see a person in need, he is here. He promised that it would be so. In Matthew 28:20, he said, "And surely I'm with you always to the very end of the age." In the Word of God, we encounter a few truths to which we can really only respond, "Wow, this changes everything." One example of it, I believe, is the resurrection of Jesus Christ. His victory over death and the grave changes everything that we once believed about the meaning of life. Another example is the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. His presence in our life, I believe, changes everything about it, what it means to have a personal relationship with God. Because Jesus resurrected from the dead, this changes everything. Now, wherever you go, whatever you do, you can be sure that one thing is true, that he is here. He's here. The question you need to ask and answer all throughout the day, though, is how then am I going to respond to his presence in this moment? How am I going to respond to encountering his presence right here, right now? How am I going to encounter his presence all throughout the day, every day? His presence is there. He is here. It's up to you and I to acknowledge that presence. That's how we encounter his presence. Today, maybe you've never really encountered the risen Christ. If that's where you're at and you've never received that forgiveness that he paid for on the cross of Calvary, he's offering that to you as a free gift, a fresh start, a clean slate, a new life that begins, that just changes everything. If you've never allowed him to come in and just change everything in your life, I want to encourage you to pray this prayer with me right now. Say, "Dear Jesus, Thank you for loving me so much that you gave your life on the cross of Calvary to pay the price for my sins. I receive that forgiveness right now. I ask you to come into my life, be my Lord and Savior. Thank you for a clean start, a fresh, clean slate. I want a relationship to begin with you right here, right now, and knowing that you're right here with me because you filled me with your Spirit. Thank you, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. If you prayed that prayer today for the first time, especially, I want you to put in the comment section, Pastor Scott, I prayed that prayer today because I want to celebrate with you and pray that that relationship with Jesus will continue to grow. For many of us, maybe we've just kind of drifted slowly away. Sometimes we forget that Jesus is there and we forget to acknowledge his presence. I want you to know you can encounter his presence every moment of every day, all day long. You just need to acknowledge his presence. Respond to his presence in a way that you just receive and know that he is there. So as we close today, I'm going to ask that God would help you to just acknowledge his presence every day and encounter that presence in a real way all throughout the day. Father, we thank you so much that you never leave us. You're always there. You said you'd be with us every moment of every day to the very end of the age. Lord, help us to remind ourselves that you are here, to acknowledge the fact that you are here. We invited you into our lives and we know that you dwell inside of us and with us everywhere we go. So Lord, we want to encounter your presence and in real and personal ways through the just that infilling of the Holy Spirit, Lord, through getting together with the body of believers in a way that we can just sense your presence in a real and tangible way. And also through reaching out and being your hands and your feet, ministering to others, Lord, we're ministering to you. And Lord, we experience your presence in a real way. Lord, we thank you so much that your presence is with us. Lord, we don't want to walk without it. We don't want to move without it. We need your presence in our life. And we give you the praise and glory for your promise of your presence in our life. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, God bless you. We look forward to seeing you next week.